This is the evening update on 88.5 KCSN News. I'm Natasha Arango with complete coverage of the day's events in the San Fernando Valley and Los Angeles County. In our report tonight, upgrades are planned at the Los Angeles Convention Center that will include more exhibition space and meeting rooms. The Census Bureau reports a 6.6% increase in the number of Americans who consider themselves as multiracial. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down on Arizona law forcing voter registration applicants to prove their citizenship. The Social Security Administration will no longer require proof of surgery to alter the gender identification of individuals in its computers and records. The Pentagon plans to slowly bring women into thousands of combat jobs, including those in the Army Rangers and Navy SEALs. In Southern California weather, partly cloudy tonight with patchy drizzle, lows in the mid-50s to lower 60s. Low clouds and fog tomorrow morning, then becoming sunny with highs in the mid-70s to mid-80s. Los Angeles City Council members are listening to ideas about improvements to the convention center. Developer AEG has a deal with the City of Los Angeles to build a new football stadium where the current West Hall is. However, they need a football team first. AEG still has 17 months to find one, so in the meantime, council members are searching for a backup plan. Chair of the Urban Land Institute, Alex Rose, explains their involvement in the renovations.
Our assignment was really about coming up with and brainstorming some ideas that the city could consider to enhance the convention center and its utility and its effectiveness as an economic driver in the event that the Farmers Field Event Center didn't go through.
The Urban Land Institute report gave a lengthy list of problems that needed to be addressed at the convention center. Some included a dated appearance, shortage of meeting space, and minimal connections to other parts of downtown Los Angeles. Economic consultant Larry Cosmont says a convention center needs a strong CEO or a board that does its own financing to be able to make improvements. The city is still in the process of looking for a private operator and is reviewing bids. The Los Angeles-based Clean Tech Incubator is getting room to grow. The nonprofit will soon have 10 times more space to nurture startup firms. The La Crête Innovation Corridor will take up 3.2 acres along a 4-mile swath of the Los Angeles River. The site is intended to house environmentally conscious manufacturers and other businesses. The new location will have open-air conference rooms and labs to test sustainable technologies. There will also be a manufacturing workshop. Once entrepreneurs move into the designated office spaces, they will meet with incubator mentors once a week for at least an hour. They will receive guidance on how to test prototypes and where to find ideal customers. The startup businesses include such industries as solar thermal technology and energy storage and transportation. These firms have already attracted $13.7 million in investments. Research shows that it's cheaper to create jobs through incubators than through community development. A study found that 87% of incubated companies were still functional after 5 years. The LA Department of Water and Power will begin work next spring on a $27 million project to capture more water in San Fernando Valley groundwater basins. The 2.5-year project should increase the amount of water collected locally each year by 2.6 billion gallons. The improvements will be made to a 150-acre spreading ground located in an urbanized area adjacent to the Tahunga Wash and downstream from Hanson Dam. The project involves making the grounds more permeable and digging basins 6 feet deeper on average to increase storage space from 100 acre feet to 790 acre feet. An acre foot is equivalent to a football field covered in 1 foot of water. After nearly a decade of investigating, Walmart has pleaded guilty for their improper disposal of hazardous waste. The company will pay a fine of up to $81.6 million for violating the Clean Water Act and a law regulating pesticides. Federal prosecutors say the company didn't train its employees on how to properly handle and dispose of the hazardous materials. Associated Press correspondent Paul Elias reports that Walmart has had a cleanup program in place since it settled the state charges 3 years ago.
The prosecutors allege this behavior occurred from between 2003 and 2006. Walmart says it now trains its employees to properly handle these hazardous materials. And in fact, the Department of Justice agrees with that.
The fines against Walmart are said to fund important environmental projects in the communities impacted by the company's violations and to help prevent future harm to the environment. Walmart's employees are now better trained and equipped with scanners which warn them of damaged packages containing any hazardous materials. New report shows an increase in the number of Americans who consider themselves to be multiracial, and their ranks continue to grow. Between 2010 and 2012, the numbers jumped four times as fast as the national population. Researchers say that there are more interracial marriages, which bring about more multiracial children. Associated Press correspondent Shirley Smith reports that the government has concerns for the increase of America's minorities.
These changes do present a challenge. Experts say they're concerned this could increase the gap between rich and poor. Already 22% of the under 5 age group live in poverty, and 3/4 of them are Black and Hispanic.
The U.S. Census Bureau shows multiracial people make up 2.4% of the national population. That's 7.5 million people. Experts say that those who only categorize themselves as only one race are now feeling more at ease choosing more than one race. The Supreme Court has officially ruled that states can no longer require future voters to prove they are U.S. citizens before using a federal registration system. Arizona's previous law required voters to document their U.S. citizenship in order to use a form produced under the federal motor voter registration law. The state argued it needed to take extra steps to keep non-citizens from taking part in elections. Southern Poverty Law Center attorney Sam Brooks says the state's action made it more difficult for legal minority and elderly voters to take part in the process.
Congress has spoken clearly and said we need to make this as easy and accessible as possible for all citizens to register to vote. And the best way that they formulated to do that is by simply requiring that a person swear under penalty of perjury that they are a U.S. citizen.
The court has also voted that the same action can be taken by state governments if they get approved of the federal government and the federal courts. Arizona, along with other states, can still include extra documents, but only as a state-specific requirement. Transgender individuals are looking to change the lengthy process of renewing and reissuing of government identification documents. Over the last few years, the transgender movement has been quietly pushing state governments to simplify the gender identification process. The long-standing requirements include proof of irreversible sex change and a note from a surgeon verifying the sex of the individual. National Center for Transgender Equality Executive Director Lisa Mote says transgender individuals should be able to identify with the gender they are through identification documents.
We're trying to make sure that transgender people who are living their lives authentically in the gender they identify as are able to have all the ID documents for everyday living to all match that same gender.
Mote's research has found 24 states amend existing birth certificates instead of issuing new ones, while 3 states refuse to change the gender on a birth certificate no matter what the circumstance. A 2008 survey by the National Center for Transgender Equality said 40% of respondents had been harassed after presenting an ID that didn't match their appearance. Assemblyman Don Wagner says he empathizes with people who find the system flawed, but he is concerned the bills would create opportunities for identity fraud. The next step for supporters is to create a process to allow a new birth certificate to be issued without a court order or legal notice in a local newspaper. By mid-2015, armed forces in the United States could see women in frontline combat positions. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has ordered the services to move forward with creating a plan for women to join the Rangers and Navy SEALs. It would include making sure women and men met the same physical and mental standards to perform well in frontline positions. CBS's national security consultant Jeff McCausland says this change could cause uneasiness.
I think it'll be mixed. I mean, I think the one thing that'll be a concern is, are we diluting the standards? Because the standards to enter Ranger School, SEAL, et cetera, are extremely high. For example, in my Ranger class, 360 soldiers began the course and only about 119 actually graduated. So the physical standards are pretty significant, and there'd be a concern about dilution of standards.
By the summer of 2015, the Army will implement standards to allow women to train and potentially serve as Rangers. Women could begin training for the Navy SEALs by 2016. The plan is to use senior women officers as a guidance and support system during the process. Studies will be conducted during the initial training procedures to decipher what jobs women may not be successful in. Women make up 14% of the active U.S. military today. A new study shows that criminal background checks and pre-admission screening questions do not predict which students will commit crimes on campus. The U.S. increased background checks after 2007 Virginia Tech massacre. Author of the study and professor at the Colorado School of Public Health, Dr. Carol Runyon, says the current process of IDing potential criminals is not very strong.
Our study suggests that our current methods of screening people who have had criminal experiences before college to identify those who are likely to have criminal experiences during college is just not very good.
The study surveyed almost 7,000 Southern University students. It found that only 3.3% of students that participated in misconduct during college reported pre-college criminal histories on their applications. Current screening questions fail to identify the students that will engage in misconduct, and most with records before college do not continue their criminal behaviors during college. Attorney General Eric Holder says he has averted daily furloughs for more than 3,500 federal prison employees. He moved $150 million from other Justice Department accounts to narrow a threat to correctional staff, inmates, and the public. The Justice Department has been cut by $1.6 billion. Local Corrections Officer Union President Jerry Stoneburner says the Holder's actions are not enough to solving the problem.
There's no doubt it won't ease the problem of being understaffed, but by all means, it will definitely put a bunch of us at ease knowing that we're not going even lower on staffing.
There are 38,000 employees at the U.S. Bureau of Prisons to supervise 176,000 inmates. Moving the $150 million can protect prison facilities through the end of the fiscal year, but does not resolve the issue. Holder has required his department to make cuts on traveling, training, contracts, and other accounts. Transportation officials have broken ground on a Metrolink station at Bob Hope Airport in Burbank. It will eventually provide easier access for riders of the Antelope Valley Line. A regional intermodal transportation center is being built at the airport to accommodate a bus transfer and rental car facilities. The Burbank Glendale Pasadena Airport Authority contributed to $1.7 million towards the Metrolink station at Hollywood Way and San Fernando Road. The new station is expected to be completed by early 2015. Citibank has opened its first West Coast flagship branch in Westwood. The 6,000-square-foot branch will be located on Wilshire and Westwood Boulevard. The branch is also the fourth to use proprietary banking technology developed in Asia. In Southern California weather, partly cloudy tonight with patchy drizzle. Lows in the mid-50s to lower 60s. Low clouds and fog tomorrow morning, then becoming sunny with highs in the mid-70s to mid-80s. I'm Natasha Rango, KCSN News. Listen each weeknight at 5 p.m. for the KCSN Evening Update from the award-winning Cal State Northridge Journalism Department.